I have to admit, it feels a little strange to say the good news of Jesus our Christ when we're talking about throwing people in a furnace and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But there is good news in this gospel. I find them in the parables. And parables are interesting because depending on what's going on in your life, you may hear a different part of it, even though you've heard these parables many times, and you may have a different reaction to it. And if I were as brave as Father Bill, I'd have Nancy come around with a microphone and see how it struck different people, but I don't have that kind of courage, so I'm going to tell you what I think. To me, this week, what I'm hearing in these parables is Jesus saying, if you're really serious about being part of building the kingdom, you've got to work from the inside out. I'm going to explain that and how I got there, but in order to do so, we need to take a deeper dive inside these very simple stories. Because a parable on its face is not much of a story, is it? I mean, it's just a glimpse. A widow loses her last coin and she searches all over the house until she finds it. The end. Or there was a guy who needed flour for bread and he knocked and knocked on my door until I finally came down and opened it up. The end. We know there's more to these stories, right? Parables are meant to just give you a little glimpse and invite you into the larger story. It's like Jesus is telling this simple story, providing a little window for you to look through, to see part of the view that he's exposing you to, and then you have to decide whether you're ready to enter into that. Because the only way to understand parables is to engage with them, to put yourself in them, and to imagine that Jesus is talking to you. So what did Jesus do? He used two really lowly, everyday images to represent growth of the kingdom of heaven. He used yeast and weeds. So even when he was talking about the mustard plant grows like a weed. So in both parables, he was talking about weeds and then introduced the yeast as well. What these have in common, yeast and weeds, is they're both very sneaky in completely transforming the environment around them. They do it in different ways, like we'll talk about in just a minute, but there's no doubt they completely change the environment around them. So he tells us about yeast, that somebody can put one measure of yeast together with three measures of flour, maybe 40, 50 pounds of flour, enough to make bread for 100 people. This little bit of yeast feeding 100 people with bread. And so that's that first image that you get as you glance through that window of that parable. Then, of course, we're even more familiar with the mustard seed, this little 1 to 2 millimeter seed that grows into a 10 to 12 feet plant, and all the birds of the air find shelter in it. So two very powerful images of growth that come from little things, but they do it very differently. Think of yeast. It starts inside the bread. It's infinitesimally small to begin with. It's almost like a little grain of powder. And it works invisibly in the bread. We can't see it working, but we can see the impact. Before we realize it, it's permeating that dough. And its change on that loaf of bread, let's say, is complete, transformational, and permanent. It's never going back to what it was because of what that yeast introduced into it. And then, of course, we've got the mustard plant, which is more external growth. It's obvious. You can tell if you've got mustard plants in the forest, maybe around, or the shrubbery around your property, you see how quickly it can take over before you even realize what's happening. Suddenly, these mustard plants have grown and taken over. And so, same thing, two little things with great change, great impact on their environment. I think what Jesus is saying is these little small things can lead to huge transformations. And he wants us to enter into that and say, what do I have to do with yeast? What do I have to do with one specific plant, the mustard seed? Well, the yeast represents what God does in us, in our spirit, forming us invisibly from the beginning, but changing us completely and permanently. The mustard seed represents what we do for others with God's help. And so one type of growth changes you, and the other type of growth potentially changes your world. So let's think about a couple of examples of how God's leaven in us can bubble something up that changes us and moves us to make some change in the environment around us. We'll start with a simple one. A parent deciding when their child is very young, we're going to start a tradition of saying a prayer, a very simple prayer at bedtime. And because the child is young, it is simple, it's short, it's going to be repetitive, it's probably going to get boring at some point for the parent and the child. And the parent sometimes is thinking over the months and years, I don't know if they're really even, if this is sinking in at all. But remember that invisible yeast that's having some impact. Over the years, most parents find who stick with this that it begins to inform the child about their relationship with God, because they're, after all, having a conversation with God every night. So it tells them about this close, intimate relationship that they have with God, and therefore, the intimate relationship they have with others. And probably most importantly, it slowly builds an internal trust for this child, an assumption that they're never alone and never have been. And I can't think of anything more empowering or impactful for any one of us than to remind ourselves that we have never been alone and will never be alone throughout our lifetimes. Let's think of one more example. And this one might be more personal inside of you. I have found the last 2 or 3 years, our society in general and the discourse in our society has been more cynical, sarcastic, sometimes bordering on negative. And I'm a part of the problem. I get in these conversations, and it feels good to whine sometimes and to pile on and to add another snarky comment or something. But I find it drains me over time. It drains my spirit. And so what if you make a decision to cultivate hope instead of cynicism? And you don't announce anything. You just change your tone. And you just think before you pile on and add another cynical comment or something. And what comments you do make are usually pointed towards the positive, pointed towards hope. Little tiny things, unannounced, probably unnoticed by most people. But after a few months, you notice the tone of your conversations feels lighter. You feel lighter and more uplifted. You become a source of encouragement for some people because they know they're not going to get that darkness with you. They're going to get something very different. And so your inner hope that you planted months ago becomes a communal energy. It's an inside-out job. I think this is what Jesus is preaching about. And all these things start so simply. And because they start so simply with everyday common decisions and things, that's why we sometimes refer to God's kingdom as God's kingdom. Because as we look around, God's kingdom doesn't look like an empire to us. It doesn't grow like an empire. It grows with weeds and seeds. It grows with everyday ordinary things that can change everything around them. So I want to close by actually talking about a couple of the other readings. So I'm glad Father Tom told you to listen to them, because I did want to say something about them. Paul dropped a little bomb in his letter to the Romans saying, we don't often pray as we ought to. And my first reaction to that was to be a little insulted, but then to kind of look in the mirror and say, yeah, you're right. My prayer is not always what it should be. It's not always as focused and heartfelt and impactful on me and nourishing to me. And so what I'd like to do is make a few suggestions from these readings we heard today and from the psalm that you might be able to use in prayer. First of all, think about that first reading from Wisdom. It told us that God gives us room for repentance. It's a wonderful phrase. God gives us room for repentance. Now remember, repentance doesn't mean to feel sorry about something. To repent literally means to change your mind, to change your course, to change your direction. Like that example about deciding to cultivate hope instead of cynicism. A little change in your direction, a little change in your course. That's repentance. And God gives us room to do that all the time, to make those kinds of changes. So to pray in thankfulness for a God who gives us room for repentance. To pray in thankfulness for the God we heard about in the psalm that was good and forgiving. To remind ourselves of that all the time when we hear gospel passages that end in wailing and gnashing of teeth, Sometimes we need to remind ourselves our God is good and forgiving, and to pray about that and to ask for the grace to be more good and forgiving ourselves. And then finally, pray about that yeast. Think about God inside of you, working on you all the time. Let that phrase, God is forever working to shape me and to form me, let that phrase sort of leaven your own spirit, permeate your spirit, become a part of you so that you look at yourself differently, because it will cause you to look at others and interact with others differently, because we've got work to do as we build this kingdom together.